Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nuclear Matters at CIL, a series of podcasts brought to you by the Nuclear Law and Policy Team at the Center for International Law, or CIL. Today's podcast is the first in a two-part podcast that will cover nuclear power development and the International Atomic Energy Agency's, or the IAEA, milestones approach. I am Nivedita. Together with Denise Cheong, we will be joined in conversation by our special guest, Mr. Anthony Kenneth Stott. Mr. Stott will provide an overview of the Milestones Approach, a program management guide designed to assist states that are considering deploying nuclear power and how it ensures the safe, secure, and sustainable development of nuclear power. Mr. Anthony Kenneth Stott is an international expert on nuclear power infrastructure development, environmental protection, and stakeholder engagement. He provides consulting services to the International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, and international NGOs. Mr. Stott was the former operational lead in the Nuclear Infrastructure Development section of the International Atomic Energy Agency's Division of Nuclear Power, Department of Nuclear Energy. He was a team leader for Integrated Nuclear Infrastructure Review, or INNER, missions to several countries embarking on new nuclear power programs, led national workshops and expert missions on environmental impact assessment and stakeholder engagement, as well as lectured at inter-regional training courses on nuclear infrastructure development topics. A very warm welcome to you, Anthony. We are delighted to have you here with us today. Now, in a world facing the combined challenge of dwindling fossil fuels, mounting energy demand, as well as climate change, the energy and development nexus is becoming central to the long-term strategy of countries. An increasing number of countries are now looking at the nuclear option as a way to not only secure the energy supply, but also as part of the clean energy transition to help achieve both development as well as climate goals. Now, even Southeast Asia is projected to have nuclear power capacity by 2040 or possibly sooner if small modular reactors come into play. In this context, the term milestones approach is often quite used. Could you please tell us a bit more about what exactly the milestone approach is and why it is important for the development of nuclear power?
Thank you, Navi. Before I talk about the milestones approach itself, there is something that one needs to perhaps understand about nuclear power, and that is really there are commitments and obligations, you know, that any country that wants to use nuclear power as part of its energy mix to generate electricity or for high temperature in the chemical industry, there are some things that they need to realize first. Perhaps the first one is that it is the sovereign decision of any country. It's up to the country to make that decision, the national decision, do they want to have nuclear power or not? And then if they do that, there's also an understanding of the commitments and the international obligations that are associated with nuclear power. Firstly, obviously, to use it for peaceful purposes. And then also in a safe and secure and sustainable manner. We talk a lot about sustainability nowadays, and nuclear power, if a country wants to do it, it needs to be done in a sustainable manner. But you can't just build a nuclear power station itself. You need an infrastructure, you need a institutional support, you need a legal framework, a regulatory framework, managerial things. You need to have programs to engage with stakeholders to make sure that they understand why the country wants to do it, what the implications are. So there's all of that needs to be done inside the country. There are international obligations, or what's called international legal instruments, the Convention on Nuclear Safety, for example, or conventions on third-party liability in case of accidents. And the country would need to adhere to those instruments, and meaning also that they need to have the necessary legal framework in their country to be able to adhere to those instruments. I think another aspect is that if you want to have nuclear power, it's not something that will cover just one government the time period for one government or two government. It's a commitment of over 100 years, because to, first of all, build the, you know, to develop the infrastructure and build the nuclear power plant, that could take up to 15 years. Then you operate it anything between 40 and 60 years. Nowadays, 60 years seems to be the norm. And then you've got to decommission your power station. All through that period, you've got to manage your radioactive waste. And afterwards, you've still got to continue to manage your radioactive waste. So it's a time period that's way beyond most governments, and in fact, beyond most people's lifetimes. So whatever we are doing today, we must realize it impacts the next generation, our children, and perhaps even their children. In fact, quite a few generations. So I think that's an important understanding that is necessary, that this is a very long-term commitment. And then to be able to do it, it's not something that a small group of people or one government department can do. It is something that requires strong national leadership and excellent communication and coordination between various parties. So if I then go on to the milestones approach itself, so what it was or what it is, it's really a comprehensive program management guide, and it's aimed at creating the right environment in the country, and environment meaning from a political, economic, a social, a technical aspect, to be able to have a successful nuclear power plant project. It was something that was developed in the early 2000s at the request of member states, who at that time were considering should they introduce nuclear power or not. And they were well aware that the IAEA had international safety standards or safety standards that were internationally recognized. There were security issues. And they thought, well, we haven't had a nuclear power program up to now. How do we go about actually introducing it? Because it was also recognized that you can't do everything at once. You have to have some sort of program or methodology that will enable you to introduce it successfully. So this is what the IAEA did, together with member states who are experiencing operating nuclear power plants. They developed this program management guide that then became known as the Milestones Approach. And it is documented. There was the first publication was in 2007, I think, and then it was revised in 2015 after the Fukushima Daiichi accident, and also taking other experience into account from member states. So it is there in a publication, and there are other publications that support it as well. So, what is it, really? So let me start by looking at what organizations are considered to be involved in developing a nuclear power program. Obviously, a government, and that's what I was trying to say earlier. It's for any country that wants to do this, it's not something a small government department can do by themselves. It is a national decision, and therefore it needs to be driven by the government. So the government plays a very important role. The IAEA and other institutions recognize that you need regulation, and you need your regulator to be independent of undue pressures from people who are trying to promote the use of nuclear energy. You need an independent nuclear regulator who will have regulations and make sure that those regulations comply with international standards, and then whoever wants to have the nuclear power plant needs to be able to show that they comply with those national regulations. And then, of course, you have the organization that's going to own and operate any nuclear power plant itself. There are some other institutions that would support those three, but those are the three main institutions. As I said, the government needs to be providing the strong national leadership and a coordination of the entire program. And normally to do that, they create something that the IEA called a NEPIA, a Nuclear Energy Program Implementation Organization, which is really just a mechanism. It could be a committee, it could be a government department that's set up, but it's really there to coordinate the development of the nuclear power program and make sure that everything gets done as it should get done. The nuclear regulatory body, as I said, is responsible to make independent nuclear regulatory decisions. There mustn't be pressures from changing political circumstances or economic conditions. And in most cases, when a country starts a nuclear power program for the first time, they will not have such a nuclear regulatory body in place. So they would need to have to establish it, set it up with the right people, with the right experience. And similarly, when you start a nuclear power program, most countries will not have a owner or operators familiar with a nuclear power plant. I mean, if you don't have a nuclear power program, you are unlikely to have an operator that's familiar with operating a nuclear power plant. So that also has to be set up. But all of that needs to be done in a phased manner. You don't need to do that all in the first year. You can do it in a phased manner, and that's part of what the milestones approach is. You know, what are those phases, and why do we call it milestones? So there are three phases.
The first phase, before you go on to that, can I just check with you? Because you mentioned these different stakeholders that are needed, the government, the regulatory body, the owner-operator, and you did mention that commitment to nuclear power is a long-term commitment, about 100 years or so. So these three organizations, are they expected to remain the same for the entire duration of this long-term commitment?
The IEA expects there to be a government in the country.
So even though who runs the government might change over to, not is likely to change, which political party is in power, that regardless of which political party is in power, they need to maintain the safe and secure and sustainable program as it goes through its lifetime. So regardless of which political powers in parties in power, they need to maintain the safety of the nuclear power plant for those 100 years. And we've already seen that in some countries where political power has changed from or the government has changed from one political power to the next. And in some countries, they made sure that that didn't impact the nuclear power program, that there was agreement that if they're going ahead with this, that they need to do it in the proper manner. In other countries where there has been a change in government, they've had second thoughts about a nuclear power program. Now, that's all fine if you do it before you actually start operating the first nuclear power plant, because you can change your mind before you actually start operating. Once you start operating, you have radioactive waste and nuclear fuel to manage, and you have to manage that then for a very, very long time. So that's what I was talking about, the understanding of the commitments and the obligations. If you want to have nuclear power, before you go into it, you need to understand those obligations. And that's what phase one of the milestones approach is. Doing sufficient studies of all the implications and what are the obligations. Implications not only from a technical perspective, but also from a safety, from a security, and then a financial perspective, the human resource, the impact on the macroeconomics in the countries, making sure that the government understands that and that there is a national position that this is something the country should go ahead with. And the milestone one is where the government actually makes a decision that they've done all the studies, they understand the obligations, and they have decided to continue with the program and move into phase two.
So, Anthony...
Phase two... Sure.
Sorry. So just in overall, how many phases and milestones are there?
So there's three phases, and at the end of each phase, there would be three milestones. And the duration of each phase is not fixed. It's different from country to country. But on average, we look at perhaps 3 to 4 years for phase one to doing all the studies you need to understand the obligation committees and commitments. Then to build the institutions in phase two, you need to build up your regulatory body, your nuclear regulator. You need to start building up your own operator. You need to make sure you've got your nuclear law in place and your legal and regulatory framework is starting to be established. So that could take anything between 3 to 5 years to actually do phase two. And in phase two, you're also preparing your what's called a bid specifications when you negotiate with whoever's going to build your nuclear power plant for you. And you don't have to do that with an open tender. Some countries do that with intergovernmental agreements, but you still need to have what actually do you want the vendor to build for you? What are the specifications that you need? How big must it be? What must it look like? What electrical output it must have? And there's a lot of other things that you need to prepare in phase two. The milestone at the end of phase two is where you are ready to either contract through your bidding process or through your intergovernment agreement with somebody to actually build your nuclear power plant. In phase three, you then are actually starting to construct the nuclear power plant. But the first part of that is that the owner operator would need to get a license to construct it. So that's why in phase two, your regulatory body needs to be well established. They need to have the regulations established already so that when an owner operator applies to be able to construct, then those regulations that are needed for that phase of the project are already in place. So phase three is constructing and then getting ready to actually commission and operate the power plant. So milestone three is when you're ready to actually finish your commissioning and actually start operating the nuclear power plant. And then after that, you go into the operation, and which I said could be for 60 years or so.
But for phase three, what is the duration of phase three usually? Is it also 3 to 5 years?
That depends quite a lot on how experienced the builder, the constructor of the plant would be. So most nuclear power plants take a minimum of 40 or 4 years to build. A more realistic figure is 6 to 7 years. And we've seen in many cases around the world where it's exceeded 10 years. So countries that have continued to build nuclear power plants, for the last 20 or 30 years, and who have got the experience with building and constructing, and perhaps or even experience with exporting to another country, they might have all the processes in place to do it a little bit shorter, but that also depends on the country itself, where they're building a new plant, whether that country has all the infrastructure and the expertise to be able to build a nuclear plant. So 7 to 10 years is perhaps more realistic than 4 years. For most countries, I would guess. So that total duration of phase one, phase two, and phase three can be anything up to 15 years. It's quite a long period in itself. And we've seen the experience of the United Arab Emirates, where they took approximately 15 years from the very beginning until they were able to load fuel and start up the plant.
Anthony, if I may, I'd like to just jump in.
Please.
You mentioned licensing in the context of phase three.
Yes.
And it made me think about people talk about the need for social license. I think you talked about this at the very start of your podcast, where you say, one of the key ingredients for a successful nuclear power program is to have stakeholder buy-in consultation. Mm. So this business of building up the social license, if you like, does that start in phase one and continue throughout? I wonder if you can comment.
Denise, you're absolutely correct. That's certainly one of the things that in the IAEA, they encouraged all countries that from the very early stages of phase one, they already start to engage with stakeholders. And there are different stakeholders. You know, often the nuclear power program is started by the Department of Energy. They've done some energy planning studies, you know, to determine, well, should nuclear energy be part of the energy mix? And already in those planning studies, there should be some stakeholder involvement, both from other government departments and other institutions, as well as the general public. So many countries, when they do their energy planning, they already have a process where they can involve other stakeholders on just the decision of whether they should consider nuclear power as an option or not in the energy mix. And there'll be very reasons why they do that. You know, perhaps they are short of natural resources in the country. Perhaps they have access to uranium. There could be various reasons why they want to include nuclear power into the energy mix, but it needs to be done in a as part of an energy planning program to see what are the different resources or energy sources that the country could consider to exploit. If they have included nuclear power as an option, they need to go into phase one and do all those studies to make sure they fully understand the obligations. And at that point, make sure that, yes, it is the right decision to go ahead with the nuclear power plant. And already in that phase, they need to be saying, well, to the different stakeholders and to the public that, yes, we've decided to do these studies to go, you know, go through the next phase to be able to make what the IAEA calls a knowledgeable decision to go ahead with the program. Already in phase one, the country needs to be seen, well, are there places where they could build a nuclear power plant? Are there sites available in the country that would still meet all the safety requirements and at a high level, and environmental requirements, physical environmental protection requirements. So they need to see, are there sites that potentially could be used to construct a new, or to locate a nuclear power plant? Part of that process then is they have to talk to different stakeholders. So I use stakeholders in the general term because other government departments are also stakeholders. You know, if the Department of Energy is taking the lead to see, well, should nuclear power be included in the energy mix, the Department of Finance should have a say in that as well because it impacts the economics, the macroeconomics in the country. The Department of Environment or the Environmental Ministry should have a say in that. They should be part of the process of looking at, see, well, are there potential suitable sites where they could locate a nuclear power plant? The Department of Education, for example. So, well, what does it mean for the universities and the tertiary institutions to build up the right human resource competence and capability in the country? So there's a lot of different stakeholders that need to be involved in that early in phase one to be able to make that national decision. Is it the right thing to go ahead with a nuclear power plant? And the public are also part of those stakeholders. They need to have a program in place where they're keeping the public informed as to why they're doing this and what are the results of all the studies that they're coming up, you know, and why is the government proposing to move forward or not to move forward? Because some countries also decide not to move forward into phase two. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for that. I think it's I'm so glad you highlighted it, because when you made the statement that what all this leads to is a better outcome, a more informed decision, I think that's absolutely the mindset that's needed, rather than to view these stakeholder consultations as impediments, if you like, to the development process, which would, I think, be the wrong way to look at it, and also a very sad outcome if that results in people not embarking on these very necessary consultations. So thank you very much for that, Anthony.
Yeah, Denise, if I can just add to what I was saying, that's certainly recognized by the IAEA, that stakeholder involvement, stakeholder engagement is a key component. And it is one of the 19 infrastructure issues that I'll talk about later. As a separate issue, it's been identified because it is so important. So if I may go ahead. So I talked about the key organizations, three key organizations. I talked about the three phases and three milestones. But what the IAEA and also the experts who are helping them develop the milestones approach recognize, that it's not just about building a nuclear power plant itself, you know, the actual construction of the nuclear power plant. You need to create the right environment. You need to create the infrastructure in the country that facilitates and ensures that you have a successful nuclear power program. And that's what the IAEA has called the 19 infrastructure issues. So they are things like you need to have a national position, which is what we were talking about earlier. You know, when you move from phase one to phase two, that should be on the basis that it is in the national best interest to actually have the nuclear power program. You need a legal framework. You need a nuclear law. The country needs to have adhered to international legal instruments around nuclear power and nuclear technology. You need trained and experienced people to do that. And things like financing and the funding. How are you going to fund the development and the establishment of your regulatory body? Because that comes well before you actually even sign a contract with a vendor to build your nuclear power plant. So things like that need to be put in place. And one of those, what we call soft infrastructure issues, is stakeholder involvement. So although we've talked about 19 infrastructure issues, a lot of them are interconnected, and one of them, the stakeholder involvement, is very interconnected with all the other 18 infrastructure issues. It plays a role in virtually all of them in terms of involving the right stakeholders. As I said, it's government, it's universities, it's local government, local authorities, perhaps even religious leaders, but eventually, it's also the general public itself. And the media will play a big role in helping to communicate and share information with the general public as well.
Thank you, Anthony.
There are hard infrastructure issues as well. The reliable electrical network in the country, the transport system in the country with roads and rails, shipping, how much your local industry will get involved in actual manufacturing components or doing maintenance for the power station once it is constructed. So there's also some hard infrastructure issues. They're all important. There's no hierarchical importance between them. And as I said, they're not standalone. They are interlinked and interrelated. And if a country wants to have a successful nuclear power program, meaning that build and operate a nuclear power plant safely and secure and sustainable going into the future, then I think all the countries that are considering nuclear power as well as operating countries have recognized that all of those 19 infrastructure issues are very important.
Thank you, Anthony. I also note that of these 19 infrastructure issues, specifically nuclear safety, security, and safeguards form three of these infrastructure issues on their own. I was wondering, how does the milestones approach address nuclear liability? Because these are concepts that our listeners have been introduced to in our previous episodes.
Absolutely. So
that is one of the things the IAEA looks at in a country, that they have the right legal framework to address nuclear safety, nuclear security, and safeguards, what is called the three S's. But there's a fourth one, which is nuclear liability.
So that the country recognizes that they need to be aware that there is possible liability considerations. They need to adhere to the international instruments on nuclear liability, and that means that they need to include in their legal framework the correct laws and regulations to ensure that nuclear liability is taken care of. So that's in the legal framework and in the regulatory framework. It's mentioned there. But it's also, of course, in the funding and the financing, because the country needs to, in some way, to make sure that the owner-operator needs to make sure that if there are any nuclear liability claims, they have the ability to do the right compensation according to their regulations. So it's part of that as well. So it is addressed in the milestones approach. And later on, I'll talk about how we evaluate what a country is doing as far as the milestones approach is concerned. And nuclear liability is one of the things that the team would look at to make sure that the country is addressing that aspect as well.
Thank you very much, Anthony. And as you mentioned, I think it's very important to note that there is absolutely no hierarchy in the treatment and consideration of these different 19 infrastructure issues that you mentioned.
I did have a question, if I may, Anthony, and this is just picking up on your introductory comments on the milestones approach. It was very interesting. You said that it's something that came into being in the early 2000s, and then guidance was published in 2007. What did countries do, countries with more established nuclear power programs, where they would have had to do all their development work and do it in the period that predated the milestones approach? What would they have done? Would that have been left purely to national laws and regulations, Anthony? I'm just curious.
Yes, I think you're right. To a large extent, it would have been left up to the countries themselves. So the major countries that were developing and designing their own nuclear power plants, the United States of America, the United Kingdom, Russia, Russian Federation, for example, China, they over time established the regulatory body. They established they had government departments involved. And to a large extent, I think they, over time, worked out what sort of infrastructure they need. When they were other countries that were not developing and designing their own nuclear reactors, but were buying them in from other countries, they, to a large extent, would then make use of that country's regulations and things like that to help them build up their capabilities. And so if I can take an example, South Africa, from where I come, when we started to build our nuclear power plant in the 1970s and 1980s, we had to rely a lot on overseas expertise to help us to actually build up our knowledge and competence in the country to build the nuclear power plant, and also the regulatory body that was in existence because South Africa already had a nuclear research reactor. They had to get overseas support to build up the competence to do nuclear power regulation. So I think that's what a lot of countries did before the milestones approach came into being, that they worked out with the country that was supplying them with the nuclear power plant what sort of infrastructure they needed and how to set it up. And Denise, let me just then add another point. The milestones approach is, as I said, a program guidance of how to set it up. It still requires the country to actually implement it. So similar to countries that before the milestones approach had to work out what they need to do, the milestones approach just gives them guidance on what they need to do. They still need to do it. So a country still needs to create its own nuclear regulator with the competence. It can have support from international companies or other international regulators, not national regulators in other countries, but it needs to create its own nuclear regulator in its own country. It needs its universities and tertiary institutions to have the programs in place to develop the competence, the nuclear skills that are required for a nuclear power plant. And it's not just nuclear engineering or nuclear physics. There's a lot of other engineering and other technical support that a nuclear power program wants. In fact, most of it is not at a master's or PhD level. A lot of the skills that are needed are not at that advanced level. At technical level, you need a lot of skills to do maintenance and operation of any power plant, whether it's nuclear or non-nuclear. So you need a lot of that as well. So yes, a country needs to do all of that. It can use the milestones approach as a guidance, but it still needs to do it and put all the things in place in its own country.
Time has gone by very, very quickly, Anthony, and I certainly have enjoyed our conversation today. On behalf of the Nuclear Law and Policy team at the Center for International Law, a very big thank you for taking the time to be with us and for the very many helpful and interesting insights that you've shared with us today. Very big thank you.
Denise and Nevi, thank you. It was my pleasure, and it's very satisfying to have these kind of discussions and identify also what other people think and what questions they have, because that helps me as well to realize I don't have all the questions. I certainly don't have all the answers, but I don't even have all the questions. So it's really good to hear questions as well.
Thank you, Anthony.
It was my pleasure.
It's been great fun.
Thank you for listening to Nuclear Matters at CIL. Do look out for the second part of this podcast, where we will continue our conversation with Mr. Stott on the IAEA milestones approach. Have a good day.